We do indeed praise our God for all his goodness toward us. We are doing a series of messages that are a part of our Connect Group ministry, and it's a way of making sure that we understand God's purpose for our lives and those five purposes that deal with our relationship with him, especially as we come into God's presence today. We'll be looking at worship and the different aspects of that as we go forward. So the series is called, Is Jesus Contacting You? And we've been using our phones as a part of it, and we're going to do the same thing. By the way, I should note very clearly here that back at the Connect Group kiosk, there's these little towelettes, or I guess they're little cloths that are used. Really nice. You keep your phone nice and clean, and if you have glasses, works out well for that. Also, I have one of these things you put on the back of your phone for your credit card. Sort of a nice little thing on that. My wife uses that kind of thing for her phone. So we're going to be looking at that, and is Jesus contacting you? Because it'd be nice to know if he's trying to get in touch with you. The answer is yes, he is. And he's trying to do it through his word. We're going to look at Jeremiah as sort of the overarching passage for this, that for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I think sometimes we have this a sense of depression and despair and hopelessness when we sort of look at what's all going on in the world, and God's coming along and saying, I got it. It's okay. Even your bad circumstances, I'm going to work those all out for your good. Very beautiful and wonderful thing here. So is Jesus contacting you? In this series, we really want to look at the purpose, and then today we're going to look at coming into God's presence, especially as it relates to worship. And as we do so, we're going to be asking this question, what makes God smile? Now, I think for most of us, we're like, I didn't know God smiled. I thought that he was always just sort of irritated with us and that there's always this continual frown against us. And that would not be the case. I want to start at the end of most services. We're not going to use it in this particular one because it's in the middle of the sermon. So for repetition's sake, we're not going to do it. But this is it's called the Aaronic blessing. It is the blessing of that God told Aaron to give to the nation of Israel. And you're probably very familiar with it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Now, I'll stop there for a second because often we sort of blow through these things and we don't think about it very much. But when it says to make his face shine upon you, this is where God is smiling at you. There is this blessing and thanks, blessing and his pleasure. When I was down seeing the grandkids yesterday, and you know, we get out of the car, and here comes the two girls. They're 5 and 3, full of enthusiasm, glad to see Grandpa and Grandma and Great Grandma, and just all of this. And as this shining face, it's a little bit like you probably have friends. They walk into the room and they light up the room with their smile. Maybe you're that person and that's awesome, but hopefully you've got friends where all of a sudden when they walk in, you're like, it's just a breath of fresh air. It's so exciting, so encouraging. And that's what it means when God's face is shining on you. It has that sense of that exuberance and zeal and everything that comes with it. He is glad to see you. His face is trying to communicate his great pleasure about you. It goes on then in verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, one of the reasons that, and I still have people griping, you can just get in line if you're still one of those who is griping, about the fact that I changed the Lord's Prayer from the old King James Version to the modern version, you can harass me later. But part of it is that it's old words like this. Countenance is a word that we don't use very much. If you do a word search and on these kind of things, you'll see over the last 200 years, the usage has gone down to almost nothing. What it means is that he lifts up his face, your countenance. That's what it means. And so to lift up his countenance is this has this sense and this meaning from the Old Testament. It's a picture of a father smiling and taking pleasure in his children. And so I know that for my grandchildren, I mean, when they come running, it's just this great joy and happiness. It's a marvelous thing. And I hope that my face actually smiles every once in a while. Would be nice. But there's all this pleasure that is a part of it. And it's the kind of thing that he lifts his head. It's a little bit also, it should be noted, that he's not looking away from us, not in disdain or in displeasure, that he wants to see us. He wants us to be in his presence, that he can see us. So what makes God smile? Well, I did a little study, which is sort of my way anyway, about smiling. Now, depending on the research that you do and how much detail they wanted, I found that there were like 9 different kinds of smiles, 16 different smiles, or 26 different smiles, types of smiles. Not all of them actually being good. There are some evil smiles there were about 5 or 6 of those embedded in there. But for the most part, I'd like you to start thinking about smiling. So let's do this for just a moment. Turn to the people next to you and actually smile at the people left and right. And let's not like a real smile, not a, you know, maybe a Mona Lisa grin, I don't know, but something. See, I think that sometimes I watch my 3-year-old granddaughter. She is at that age where it's like, Brooke, smile for the picture. And it's like, you know, she didn't know how to handle that yet, you know, and you've probably seen that with little kids. But what's your reaction to smiles? And we're going to be asking a few questions. Now, I have to say, this was more fun for me than I should have had. But I was going through hundreds and hundreds of pictures of people smiling. And there's so many different emotions that are captured by a smile, different kinds of smiles that are necessary. Again, you sort of have grins, you have these big boisterous laughters, you have what are called dental smiles, where you see a lot of teeth, and there's a lot of subtleties that go with it. And I'm going to show you a bunch of those pictures, but I want you to know this. Sometimes people will say, well, God doesn't smile. There's no word in the Bible that says he smiles, which is really not accurate, because just what I was showing you, when he lifts up his face, there is this shining and smiling that's a part of it. But we have to remember that the emotions that we have, the joy and the happiness that we have, we're made in God's image. He has given us those emotions. Those are the emotions he himself has as well. So when we talk about, you know, is God grinning at us? Is he, what kind of smile does he have when he looks at you? And I think for most of us, we do sort of struggle, well, I didn't think he smiled when he looked at me. And I would have to say, well, let's think about the confession of sins that we just did a moment ago. It actually said it real well. Do you confess your sins? Yes, I confess my sins. Do you believe that God forgives your sins? Yes, I believe that. Do you desire the Holy God, Spirit of God to strengthen your faith? I mean, yes, we are sinners, but we have a Savior who has forgiven us. Yes, we were estranged and outside of God and apart from him, but we're now part of his family. He's happy. I guess one of the best smiles that you can think of, think about the Good Samaritan, not the Good Samaritan, think about the prodigal son as he's returning home. What is the smile? The father thinks his son is dead, may never see him again. And here he sees him coming down that dusty road. How big a smile would that have been on the father's face? That's what we want to look at as we look at a bunch of these pictures. So how do you respond to a smiling person? Now, this is one of my favorite pictures. I just think that guy's great. I mean, it's like so much fun. You can see it in his eyes. His nose is all scrunched up. I think that's a beautiful picture. Here's these two pretty girls. And I like this guy. He sort of has that youthful confidence. Going to take over the world here where I can do this. And he just has that sense of having it all together on that. Here's a young gal looking at herself, probably thinking about the future. This is one of my favorite things, this little kid. Ah! You know, the little kids are so much fun. They're just laughing like crazy on that. And then here's a pretty gal. She's got her computer or iPad or whatever that is there. This one is harder to see. God didn't have any teeth. But he's smiling anyway, even in his old age. Here's a young gal that it's actually a wedding picture for this pretty gal, and little kids that are playing. Actually, I've been trying to figure out what they're sitting in. I couldn't figure it out from the larger picture, but a lot of joy that's there. For me, maybe this is one I resonate more to the grandparents with the grandkids and having fun with them. So as you look at this, I want you to start thinking, what are the photographs that make you happy? Somehow you connect with that? And is that the kind of smile God has for you? Is it the kind of smile you have for God, for one another? See, I think the smile, young face there, this is one of my favorite pictures. This guy, loved that hat. He looks very dapper. He also has a phone, which we keep talking about, because we're going to be sharing a little bit, moving this from a secular thing to a sacred thing. But he looks really good there. A little kid again, there's just sort of that innocent joy that's there. This is one of my other favorite pictures. It's sort of that, again, sort of a confident kind of smile, a successful, a businessman that can sort of handle the problems of the world, be able to achieve great things. I sort of like this guy's smile there. Again, here's a young gal probably on vacation. I like this guy. I mean, you can't get that. That is a one solid beard, I'm telling you. That's very, very, very regal on that. For the Camerons in Arthur, we shave like once a month kind of thing, you know. So I guess I'm sort of jealous of that guy. Here's an older woman full of life, and her smile sort of expresses it so beautiful in that. Here's a young couple just getting married, and just that little smile by the bride as he's kissing her hand, very beautiful. Little kids, again, their smiles are just so infectious. You saw about they're sort of lighting up a room and shining faces. That's beautiful there. Which ones make you smile, though? I mean, some of those, like for most people, as we've done it, the little kid that was thrown up there, they all sort of resonated to that. But is it sort of this, here's a strong, young, handsome young man. Here's a pretty couple, and she's giving him that little smirky kiss there. This one I like a lot because it's like, free at last. No more school today. You know, they're out of here, and they're just having a great time on that. My wife and I sort of disagreed on this one. She didn't think that was a big enough smile or whatever, but I liked it because I think that you've got, it's not one of those big kind of grin kind of things, but it's, there's sort of a calm smile to it, almost a contented smile. And she is a mother of a small child. She's exhausted. I mean, that's about as all the smile you're going to get out of her, because you got so tired on that. Here's another fun picture on that. Here's sort of a giggly couple just enjoying each other together. And how does God smile when he looks at you? Now, this next picture I love a lot. And I don't know if you think about God smiling like this when he looks at you. I mean, that's not the normal picture of God. I mean, and I'm not saying that that's what God's smile is like, but it could be. And maybe sometimes that's exactly the kind of smile he has. I mean, there's just, I don't know, there's, again, the life, the energy. The guy didn't have much hair on the top there. We'll have to talk about that later. And probably the most biblical of all the pictures I put up here is this one. Because Jesus is portrayed as the groom, and we, the church, are the bride. So if you want to know what the smile God has for us, it's most likely this young man who is here at his wedding. He's got that smile, and it is this smile of the future, this smile of this beautiful relationship, this smile of love that has been completely committed to each other. Beautiful, lovely. I like this guy. I don't know. He just seemed like he was just a nice, handsome, full of life kind of guy. Pretty gal there. This is one of my other ones. This guy's just got zeal and energy, and it's like, let's go. And I think sometimes God says, let's get going. Let's have some fun. Let's go ahead. Let's do this work. Let's go ahead and live life to the fullest. And then here's another one where, again, sort of anticipating a baby to be born and all that. So a lot of fun pictures that are a part of it. Let me give you four secrets to making God smile in your life. I hope that this will be encouraging to you. It really sort of falls under the whole subject of worship. And too often, sometimes it's like, I don't come to worship to smile. You know, it's like, I have to do, it's my duty, gotta do these things. Well, I'd like to maybe make you rethink that. That when you come here, God isn't like, well, it's about time, you haven't been here for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks or whatever. Where you been? And we think God's going to be yelling at us. He's glad you're here. He's happier with your family and all this. So we talk about God's presence and us coming into his presence. This is what makes God smile. Being with and doing things with our Savior. See, it says in Psalm 95 this, verse 2, the first part of it. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. God is inviting us to come to him. Come to the table of the Lord, receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Come and hear his word. Come in his son's name. Come and receive the salvation he has. Come and be with Jesus. Now, a few years ago, I did a whole series of messages. 30 weeks, it was a long time. It took a long time to get through it because we went from Genesis to Revelation to maps. We did the whole thing, did the whole Bible in 30 weeks. And as a part of it, we learned these things, that God created the world for humanity to be with him. That his supreme vision, I mean, his supreme passion, his great vision was this. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with me. That's the whole point of the Bible. Now, the bad news on this is that we didn't want that. We disobeyed God and sinned and separated ourselves from God. We didn't want to be with God. Now, typically, we think about God being mad at us. And his righteousness, his holiness demands he can have a righteous anger, and that's appropriate and to be expected. But the thing that is probably more to God's character is how sad he is at that separation. It breaks God's heart to not be with us. And so he says, I got to do something. So he commits everything he has, gives everything he has by sending his own son to be our Savior. He commits to do whatever is necessary to get us back. He makes sure that his son can pay for all of our sins so that he can smile again at us. He can give us that lift up his countenance upon us, that his face can shine on us and give us that big grin and smile as we are coming into his presence. We can't come into his presence by ourselves. We need to be escorted by his son, Jesus Christ. We always come in the name of Jesus in this. So the Bible is this wonderful story of God's relentless pursuit to bring all of us back to be with him, in fellowship with him as part of his family. So what makes God smile? Coming into his presence, but also that we can come into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. This is the second part of this verse. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Now, one of the things that's interesting, I don't know if you know this, but you can actually play music with a phone or a mobile device. You could actually get praise songs on your thing. You could actually even do some kind of song list and have a whole series of music that would help you praise the Lord and to be able to acknowledge all that he has done for us. I would encourage you to use your phone as a thing of worship and a thing that brings music and praise into your life. Thanking God for all his blessings in Jesus Christ, that's one of the keys to worship. My encouragement is that we would always be and have an attitude of gratitude, that we're always trying to say, what are the good things that are happening in my life? I think the thing that would help your worship next Sunday is if from this time on, you start making a list. Oh, wait a minute. There are apps. Do you know what an app is? Just checking. There are apps. Oh, by the way, I have a baptism at 12 o'clock. Just came up here. Okay, pay attention to that later. This is terrible to have here on my own phone. It starts talking to me while I'm looking at it. You can make a list of things that you can be thankful for. And maybe it's a Google Keep kind of thing or whatever it may be. I mean, you can use this thing. I forgot to mention the coming into God's presence. You can actually use this as a calendar. I mean, I use it as a calendar, and I doubt, now I'm going to be real blunt here, I doubt that any of you have scheduled on your phone church at 8, 9:30, 11, because you know when it is. But it's never scheduled here. You just assume you're going to come. My thing is that make a commitment about that. And I would say also make a commitment, schedule it into your daily plan, into your to-do list and to your schedule when you're going to meet with God. But you can also make it as a list of things that you're going to thank the Lord for all week, and then come and thank him. And that will bring a smile to God's face. The third thing is dealing with prayer. It's one thing to come into his presence, and then we tell him how wonderful he is and all the good things he's done, even in the midst of some of our sadness and difficulties. But he wants to have a conversation with you. One of the great joys I have is when I take a walk with my lovely wife, and as we do so, then we can talk. We can have a time to chat. God is pleased. He smiles. He smiles when you get a chance to talk to him. And you need to sort of carve out. Now, you can sort of have a wonderful time all the time talking to Jesus, but sometimes you need that special time. You're going to carve it out saying, this is my time to talk to the Lord in prayer. And I would encourage you that the Lord's Prayer is as good a place as any to begin in terms of that conversation. This is some quotes that I found in my research on it. In the Lord's Prayer, God himself gives us the words to use when speaking to him. Therefore, he intends to grant our request expressed in the Lord's Prayer. He's like a king that says, this is how you make petitions to the royal court. But what's nice is that you're part of the royal family. So he says, this is how we should converse one to another. And so, Lord, teach us to pray was the words that the disciples used. They asked Jesus, say, can you teach us to pray like the disciples of John? And so that's one of the first prayers, Lord, teach us to pray, and then learn to pray. That's one of the things that's necessary. So, but there's a danger here. Even the prayers that that Jesus has taught us, and there's all kinds of other prayers that we can have as part of our conversation with God, you can still use the words of the Lord's Prayer, and it's of no profit to your soul, because you need passion. You need to be from the heart in all this. God not only wants your outward, but your inward devotion of the heart. Jesus gives it to us this way as a warning. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. He doesn't want us to sort of mail it in and go through the motions. It's a little bit like sometimes for anniversaries and Valentine's and some special things. Sometimes there is like, well, you just do your duty. And it's like, okay, here's your flowers, here's your candy, here's your going out to restaurant. And it's like there's no real zeal to it. There's no real passion to it. It's just duty. And it's lukewarm. And what's interesting here, Jesus says, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit, and actually the New Testament word is really vomit. It's so disgusting to him to have this kind of lukewarm relationship. He wants something so much different. He wants to be able to smile, and that means that we need to come with some passion. Listen to what it says in Psalm 19. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my God, and my Redeemer. He's concerned about the heart. He looks at the heart, just like when he was looking at how people were giving their offering. The amount of money wasn't what he's looking at. He was looking at the devotion and the heart and the zeal and the dedication that was a part of it. It was out of love that the widow gave her little penny to the offering at the temple. So is Jesus contacting you? The answer is yes. And he's contacting you to say, I want to be with you. I want to be able to receive your praise. I want to be able to talk with you. But I want your love. I want your passion. Because he has given to us his own son in a passion. We always talk about the passion of the Christ. And we always think about it as terms of suffering. But it's also the passion of his heart that he wants to give himself to us so that we might be able to be with him and receive the smile that God has. Now, I gave you a whole bunch of pictures of what a smile looks like and the smile that God may have toward you. And it probably is different at different times in your relationship with the Lord. But know that God smiles on you because of Jesus Christ. He's glad to be with you. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, the scripture says. Good advice for us each and every day. We pray. Thank you, dear Jesus, for coming into this world, for your coming into the world to be with us, to be our Savior. We are so thankful that we can know how much you love us and care for us. You have passion for us. You have zeal for us and want to be with us. Help us not to reject that relationship, but to embrace it with the kind of enthusiasm so that we might have the kind of love that we can love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. May we be people of love as we worship you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.